This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. I want to get to something Michael said on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320 if you would like to join the program there. Maybe you're in the car and you're listening on 98.5 FM HD2 or 1320 AM, and you're like, man, I got to get out of the car. I got to go back to work. Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is, pull us up in a separate tab. youtube.com/ESPN1320.
There you go.
And you continue listening to the program. Anyways, Michael said, where did his
this one?
That's the one. Said, appreciate you listening, Michael. Said, Jesus, this was Russ' first game. Lord have mercy, the next 5 hours are going to irk my nerves. Okay, a couple things on this. One, I promise D'Lo and Casey probably feel differently about Russell Westbrook last night than we did. But I think it's important to note here, I didn't think Russell Westbrook played a perfect game last night by any means, but the nature of our conversation was not even about Russell Westbrook, the player. It was that the Kings have put him in a position where when Russell Westbrook comes in to do what Russell Westbrook does, it sets him up to fail.
Yeah.
He has not been put in a spot where he's played basketball with these guys for weeks or months and has gotten everything squared away and, okay, this is how I fit in this system and this is how I work with this guy and this is how I work with that guy and this is, like, he has not gotten that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So his performance last night, which I didn't think was great, and Michael's right, this is his first game. I'm not, he's got some rust to knock off. I'm sure he's going to be better in game two.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet on that. But the Kings have put him in this spot where, hey, Russ, just go play. Just go figure it out. Also, while there's guys hurt, and also while, like, you haven't played with a lot of these guys, and we're also trying to figure it out, that's on the Kings. This is a Kings problem way more than it is a Russell Westbrook problem.
Yeah, I don't understand a player playing himself into shape in the first game of the season, the second game of the season, when you had a preseason and you had a training camp that he should have been a part of. I don't get it, and I understand that you had some question marks about what you're going to do with your backcourt. Your final decision was this, and if that was going to be your final decision, you should have come to it quicker. That's my issue. Like, look, Russell Westbrook is in his 18th NBA season. He did nothing last night that was any different than he did for the last 18 years. Like, he's the same exact player. Mm-hmm. Is he as dynamic as he was when he was young? No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He missed some shots that looked horrible. He made some shots that were like, oh, that's, yep, you know, that's, mm-hmm, Russ. He had a horrible turnover, and then 2 seconds later gets a chase down block. That's
that
Russell
was
Westbrook.
An unbelievable play, by
that's,
the way.
But that's Russell Westbrook.
Holy crap.
The pass was unbelievable. I mean, the turnover was unbelievable too. You're, yeah, like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
And then, oh, look at that. At first I was like, is he really just jogging back? And then all of a sudden, boom, explodes, times, blocks the ball. Like, that's the full Russ experience. I get it.
He blocked the ball so hard, it almost created a wedgie between the rim and the backboard.
Yeah.
He blocked the hell out of that shot.
Yeah, so look, I get it that, like, what I watched was okay. That's Russell Westbrook in a nutshell. I just wish that he would have had time to build continuity with this roster.
I agree.
And then the other thing, the other one that I starred, TC, like, I get you, bro. Westbrook took that shot, in your opinion, to show the youngsters, hey, this is how I want you to play. Stay always in killer mode, no matter who's around you. No, that flat out was Russ like being Russell Westbrook. I don't want to hear anything else. It was a Russell Westbrook play through and through. I've seen it again. We've got 17 years and one game of tape. Like that just wasn't a good basketball play. You had a wide open player. You didn't give it to him, and you went inside and didn't. You took a worse shot. That's all. And like those things are going to happen. And again, he's rusty and all that stuff. But bro, let's not make excuses or put you TC in the head of Russell Westbrook.
Also, hey, he needs to show Zach LaVine that then.
He won't pass it to Zach LaVine. Bro, this is how you do it.
Mode.
This is how you do it.
That's fine. Like, I don't need Nick Clifford to learn that. I need Zach LaVine. It is 22 in the first half, 8 in the second half.
There are purple-colored lenses, and then there are rust-colored lenses there. I'm not quite sure what you're looking
they're
at
zeros.
Right
there. They're not. Yeah,
just
zeros.
The zeros. Yeah. I'm not quite sure, but still, like, I think Russ can help this team. I think he's a good player still. I wish he would have been there before and getting used to what's happening on the court.
I expect the Russell Westbrook minutes on Friday to look better than the Russell Westbrook minutes last night.
Is he going to defend a 7'1" small forward or a 6'11" power forward or 7'2" center in this game?
He can do it all, James.
He can do it all. Mark it down.
Oh, I thought we were going to get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the show, I believe that was TC on the line. Jesse Tapia is here, by the way. Shout out, Jesse.
I'll also say I got into it last night. Some guy on Twitter like yelling at me that I'm making excuses for my buddy Doug Christie that he didn't make any adjustments in the game. And I'm like, bro, did you notice Dylan Cardwell playing the entire last 5 minutes? Like,
yeah.
Okay, first of all, how do you make adjustments when the problem that you have on the court is the other team keeps getting offensive rebounds, spraying it out to open shooters and hitting shots? How when they have 18 offensive rebounds for 28 second chance points, mm-hmm. and you're missing 21 rebounds per game in your power forward and center who are on the sidelines? Like, there's only so much you can do when your bench includes Dario Saric and Drew Eubanks and, you know, the players and no Isaac Jones. Like, there's only so much you can do. Maxine Reynaud looked like completely lost in game one, which is to be expected. Like, there's only so much you can do. And what Doug did was he turned to a guy who was undrafted and played him in closing minutes in a tight ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the best decision. The Suns did not get an offensive rebound in the fourth quarter. They hit a lot of shots, mm-hmm. but they also didn't get an offensive rebound in the fourth quarter. And that's what you're looking for. So, yeah, adjustments were made in this game. Shout out to Dylan Cardwell, who I thought, like, again, every time I watch him, he's just so composed and looks like a mature guy who's played for a long time.
He was in that game to close because he, to me, played the brand of basketball I think the Kings want to play.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 3 points in the quarter. He did not grab a rebound. He had a block, and he committed 3 fouls.
Yeah.
But it was this is one of those things where you can't look at the box score. And when you were watching Dylan Cardwell last night, you went, oh, he's making a difference in this game. And again, I know the Kings didn't win, and okay, if you want to drag the coaching staff because they should have played Daquan Plowden instead.
They played 11 players.
Then sure, man. Like, cool. If that's your prerogative, fine. I didn't personally take major issue with any decisions last night, especially because we talked on this show how it might be a little bit bumpy the first couple of weeks while they just kind of figure out what their rotations look like without Keegan Murray. I think that's a very real thing. But with Dylan Cardwell specifically, you saw him playing the way when he first stepped on the court,
mm-hmm.
I said, what? This is what we're doing? Oh, my God. And then you watch and you go, oh, he's very aggressive, which we knew. He's a mean person on the court. And you see the aggressiveness. You see him fouling. Being over aggressive again, there's things we got to iron out. He's not a perfect player.
Yeah.
But I thought I had no problem with him finishing the game last night. If he had been making these just catastrophic mistakes and the Suns just kind of abused him in some way on either end of the floor, then all right, cool. Dylan Cardwell was not the issue last night. And I thought that Doug Christie having the wherewithal in that spot to say, yeah, hey, we're not going to lean on Dario Saric because, like, no, we're going to go to this kid who I'm going to give a chance to do what I want our center to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it and he stuck with him. Like, salute, man. They didn't win it. And like I said, if that's all that matters to you, then okay, then I'm not going to convince you.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm really surprised that when we look at the box score that, you know, you're looking at Dario Saric at 7.5 minutes. You're looking at Maxime Reynaud at 11.5 minutes. You're looking at, again, Keon Ellis playing 13 minutes. Dylan Cardwell played 14 minutes and 37 seconds. Like, you showed faith in a young kid. And to be honest with you, every single time I watched him play in preseason, he stuck out.
Yep.
Not for bad things. He stuck out because he was always in the right position. And I watched him playing the pick and roll last night. Holy cow. That dude can move in space.
Yep.
Like, he has all... We've been saying this forever. The Kings don't have a Nas Reed. They don't have... And Nas Reed at least shoots a three, right? So they don't have that player that can stretch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But they also... They could have used, like, a Brandon Clark. They could use a... of Jared Vanderbilt. Type of guy.
An energy big.
An energy big that yes. knocks people down, that rebounds, yes. that when he gets... the opportunity to dunk on somebody, he is not going, people's hands are going to get broken.
Yes.
Right? People are afraid to get in front of him. They've needed that type of player for a long time. And this is the guy, or at least he looks like he's the guy. And
I'm not going to say he's the guy yet. I got to get more than one game, but
he's the guy that they have on the roster today.
Sure. But you see the outline of it.
Yeah.
Again, you have to do it for multiple minutes across multiple games to be consistent and to be one of those guys. But
yeah.
I did Dylan Cardwell earn another shot last night?
Of course he did.
In the NBA. I agree with you.
Yep.
And at this point, man, for me, that's what matters.
Yeah.
If you're watching this team and going, you know what? And obviously we want the Kings to win every game. That's the goal. But in reality, if you're watching this and like, man, if they don't make the playoffs, this season's a failure. All right, then you probably feel differently. For me, as somebody who's watching this season and going, okay, I'm worried about 26 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
The Dylan Cardwell minutes matter to me. The Neat Clifford minutes matter to me. The Maxime Reynaud minutes matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
How those guys are playing and developing and how they look, all that stuff matters. Whether it translates to wins this year or not is secondary for me. When I'm watching the Kings.
Yep.
And Dylan Cardwell wasn't a total disaster last night. He absolutely earned additional minutes moving forward.
Yeah, and George Mueller here in the chat says he plays within a role.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
I knew exactly why he was on the court.
Yep.
The entire time. And did he have a bunch of rebounds? No.
Mm-mm.
But while he was on the court, his team had more rebounds. And that's because he's boxing out and he's doing the things he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think he was perfect, but I certainly, when I watched him play, I thought the same thing every single time I watched him in preseason. Huh. Okay. I can deal with those minutes.
Yeah. If I saw somebody in the chat say he only had one rebound, he wasn't very good. I encourage you to go back and watch again. Go back and watch again.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me that Dylan Cardwell wasn't at least didn't again. Not saying, wow, that's prime Hakeem. Should he start?
No,
no. This is hey, should he get 12 minutes a game? And based on last night, yeah, hey, he should play against the Jazz.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And again, George Mueller. Again, this is how it's how Mitchell Robinson made a name for himself in the league. That's what you do. You go out there and you look like a competent NBA player. And you earn more minutes by looking competent.
That's it.
Yeah. Good for Cardwell.
Shout out to Dylan Cardwell. And yeah, if he's going to be a long-term piece of the rotation, yeah, the production's got to tick up. But this is his first NBA game. It's the same thing with Neat Clifford. Was the production where you want it to be? No, not necessarily. But how did they play? How did they look?
Yeah.
and neither of those guys looked overwhelmed or like the game was too fast for them consistently. And that's a good sign. Hey, we've got A1 combat tickets to give away all week. That's the rest of today and tomorrow. We've got two tickets to give away today to Uriah Faber's A1 combat number 32 at Hard Rock Live on Friday, November 7th, 2025. These tickets, courtesy of the homies at A1 Combat. This is professional MMA. This is not a couple of guys duking it out in their backyard. This is professional MMA in the cage with nonstop action. We've got Billy Brand taking on Ethan Ewing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's a vacant bantamweight title in A1 Combat, and they're going to fight for that. Joy Killjoy Pendel. She is going to defend her featherweight title against vicious Zarina Turi. There's going to be 16 fights, 16 bouts of incredible UFC-style professional fights. Tickets available at Eventbrite or A1Combat.com, or tickets can be yours now for caller 9 to the ESPN 1320 studio line at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you'd like to win two tickets to A1 Combat number 32 at Hard Rock Live on Friday, November 7th, 2025. Tickets courtesy of A1 Combat. How are you feeling about the Kings overall after last night? We're going game by game this year.
Mm-hmm.
How are we feeling after game one? Better, worse, the same? We'll answer that question next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader. Oh, I've got a van. Oh, shoot. Jesse is in the middle of work. That's on me. That's my fault. That's poor hosting by me. We're good? Okay, yeah, we're good. ESPN 1320. Yeah, we gotta go. ESPN 1320. That's my bad. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia on the ones and twos. How you feeling about the Kings right now? Do you feel better after last night? Worse after last night? The same? I think I kind of feel the same.
It's about the same. I feel like we've seen that game a million times the last few seasons, so I guess I'll change my mind if you show us something new.
Yeah. I came out of it like, oh man, you blew a 20-point lead. That's a bummer. But I also looked at all the moving pieces that they're working with and trying to figure out, and like, how do we piece this thing together? Because there are going to be games early in this season where you have no answer for a like structural issue with your team, right? It's mm-hmm. just the facts of life. Again, we talked about it, a little bit before, but you know, they play Utah on Friday, and Walker Kessler, 7'2". They're starting. Who are they starting at the four? Filipowski, 6'11". And Lauri Markkanen, 7'1", is playing the three.
They beat the hell out of the Clippers last night.
They crushed the Clippers. They just ran them over.
They were up 70. Nope, hang on. 78-47 at halftime.
Yeah. So that's if you don't have Keegan Murray and you don't have Domantas Sabonis, even if you have those guys, you're still not built to go up against a team with 3 7-footers on the front line. Mm-mm. And they're not the only team. We saw Houston Rockets start four guys that are 6'11 on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy talk. So like, look, I think that there are times where you're going to look at the game, and if you're being honest, like, again, they should not have blown a 20-point lead, but there was a lot of positives to take away from the first half. There were a lot, and the whole time you're wondering, like, how do they keep mixing and matching players to make this work? Because eventually playing 11 guys is like super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like one bad group of two can mess up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the biggest issue that they had was something that they don't have any way to combat right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they couldn't get defensive rebounds, and that the other team had 18 offensive rebounds. And not all of those were their fault. Sometimes the ball just jumped off the iron and took like a it flew way out further and you know, one of the Suns guys got the ball. I didn't think that there was a lack of focus. I didn't think there's a lack of hustle or lack of physicality. I thought they went toe to toe with Dylan Brooks. I love the exchange with him and DeMar DeRozan. I thought that there was a ton to like from the game. At the same time, this is a work in progress. There are so many moving pieces, and that's why I've said this before, but most coaches, when they're trying to figure everything out, they tighten the rotation. They don't expand the rotation. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, the Kings don't have that luxury today because they're missing all of their rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
So expanding the rotation is like the only thing you can do.
And, I agree.
And again, I don't blame Doug Christie for playing Russell Westbrook 19 minutes and Keon Ellis, you know, 13, mm-hmm. because I know that Russell Westbrook is going to go get rebounds. Mm-hmm. And when you can't get any rebounds and you're getting beat because of one aspect of the game, sometimes you have to make adjustments that aren't natural adjustments that you would normally make. If you have a guy who's averaging 14 rebounds and a guy who's averaging 7, I think that game looks a lot different.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I feel the same. Because I do think that Sabonis and Murray obviously make them better. But I also saw a first half where it was like, oh, the Kings can't miss. And the Suns missed so many wide open looks.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like every Suns possession was somebody touches the paint, sprayed the hot guy, missed three. And salute to Mike Brown.
It got to a point on that specifically. It got to the point where I even thought, oh, the Kings are just letting him shoot threes now because they're not hitting
that's
anything.
That's how it felt. Like
it
they
did.
Went, to hell with it. Let him shoot.
He's not going to hit it anyway.
Right. And
step
so,
back.
And then, so first half, the Kings won the three-point line. They went 7 of 13 from three. The Kings did 29 of 45 from the field. My goodness. 7 of 13 from three. The Suns went 3 of 17.
Yep.
So the Kings won that one 21-9. Then you go to the second half. The Kings go 2 of 11 from 3, technically 3 of 12, but that's neither here nor there. They go 2 of 11 from 3, and the Suns went 7 of 17. 21-6.
Yeah.
And that was the major difference to me. I didn't think the Kings did a lot. I did like the defensive effort specifically from Zach LaVine. I thought had some really good defensive possessions. I thought Malik Monk had some good defensive possessions. That's all encouraging. Dennis Schroeder, especially towards the end of the game, I thought was very good on that end of the floor. But the Suns also kind of got to the paint whenever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whether Keegan helps with that a little bit, but I don't think that that's going to, I don't think that that's going to get fixed. And there's the warts that we all knew were there,
mm-hmm.
were very much there last night. They get exacerbated for sure without your two top rebounders, your offensive hub and 20 points a night in Domas and 15 points a night in great defense from Keegan. I get it. Like the Suns, the Kings probably win that game with those two guys. But I think overall it was, it was fine.
Yeah.
Like there was definitely some good, but I think there was enough bad that you go, all right, I'm not moving off. I'm not going, oh, maybe this team wins 45 games this year.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. Like, it wasn't. They're just not, they're not going to be terrible, which is just kind of what we said. Like, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I think you're encouraged there that now, if you're looking for silver linings, we talked about Dylan Cardwell, we talked about Nate Clifford. I think you can very easily talk yourself into the Kings winning that game going away if they have Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray. Like, that's all great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as overall, they're probably pretty similar to last year.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they looked like a functional basketball team on the court. I just think there was a couple of things that stood out, the inability to rebound, the unfamiliarity mm-hmm. with Russell Westbrook. And trying to play him into shape on the fly, that was an issue. You know, again, the Dario Saric minutes, those don't exist when Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray are there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dylan Cardwell minutes probably don't either. So if you're allowed to play, you know, again, Drew Eubanks against backup centers,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
Yep.
But when you're forced to have him start and you're forced to make him play, you know, 22 minutes, you're going to have some problems. And, yep. You know, you can't have your center finish a game with as many block shots as he did, as he had rebounds.
Unless he has like 10 rebounds.
Yeah. Unless he's got 10 blocks. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So
let's get to the Oak Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. See how Mitch is feeling about the Kings after last night. Go ahead, Mitch.
Guys, I didn't feel so well with the Western Conference is so tough. I mean, even Utah and San Antonio, I think, are going to take a couple of steps ahead of us and closer to the playoffs. It's going to be an amazing race, but I'm glad we're getting our young guys. Let's get to Isaac Jones. Let's get to see what the guy was. These injuries, Keegan's going to be gone for quite a while, and Sabonis, I don't know how long he's going to be back. And one more thing, I guess the NBA's going to do some serious investigation. A coach, Ben, a player, they're getting paid, right? They're paying good money. Nobody makes less than seven figures, right?
Yep. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call. Let's get out to Tom on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320 wants to talk about Nate Clifford. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, at the end of last season, Sabonis said, we need a point guard. And I'm not convinced that the two veterans they signed are the long-term answer, even the medium-term answer. To me, it's Clifford. Clifford can play a 1-2-3. Hmm. I think he's the point guard of the future. And to me, that future is getting closer and closer. I'd like to see him with some minutes, just sprinkle in some minutes here and there as the point guard. He sees the court. He knows where everybody is and where they're going. He can pass the ball. I see a little bit of Halliburton in him. I think he's the way to go. I would love to see Clifford get some more time at point guard.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call. I don't hate the idea.
Yeah.
I want to two things on that. One, the fact of the matter is, we talked about this a little bit with Keon Ellis, when you pay Dennis Schroeder, you trade for and then pay Dennis Schroeder. And then, although I guess technically order of operations there was you traded for Dennis Schroeder, who had just gotten paid. But anyways, You're paying Dennis Schroeder, who you acquired via trade, and then you signed Russell Westbrook on purpose. When you have those two players who are brought in specifically for this thing, and then Malik Monk, who can also play with the ball in his hands, you run into this logjam that Doug Christie talked about with Keon Ellis, but now we're talking about it at the point guard position. They brought those guys in to play that position, and I think they're going to for a majority of this year. Now, if the Kings are out of the race for a play-in spot, they're sitting at the 12 seed, and they're just locked into the 12 seed, going into mid-March, then yeah, maybe we see some naked point guard, just see what it looks like. But the second prong of this is something Kenny was talking about yesterday, and I think it's a very important aspect of the Nate Clifford experience, is you don't want to David Carr him, where you put him in a position that he's not ready for, and now all of a sudden the Nate Clifford point guard experiment goes super sideways. Now you cross that off as a position that he's going to play, and now you got to have him go to the bench because, oh man, he hasn't been playing the two, he hasn't been playing the three. And you risk torpedoing his development if that doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Is it not that that's exactly how it would go, but it's one of the factors for me, is you want to make sure you're bringing him along at a comfortable pace. But I don't hate the idea that by 2027, Nate Clifford is the guy that they've circled as if not their point guard, at least their second ball handling option.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if they've already like sort of written this down, that Nate Clifford's probably their shooting guard of the future, with Keegan Murray as the small forward and Nate Clifford as a shooting guard. As far as a point guard, I think he can play the position, and I actually, like, if there's a point where you have him and Zach LaVine playing side by side in the backcourt, I wouldn't hate it, because that's where, like, as much as we want to say Tyrese Halliburton or anything like that, like, Tyrese Halliburton, for whatever reason at the college level versus the pro level, he's just like a maestro. Like, he's so much better as a passer at the pro level than he was at, you know, in the years he had in college. What, 2 years at Iowa State? Anyway, like, I look at Nate Clifford and I'm starting to see more of a Doug Christie type player. Like if you go back to the early 2000s, where you have a versatile defender who can dribble the ball, who can rebound, who can do everything. He's a good three-point shooter, not a great three-point shooter. And he might even be like a modern-day version where he can shoot the three at a higher clip than Doug did. But I kind of look at that player, and that's a really valuable player because that means that you can have a Mike Bibby-type player next to him or a Zach LaVine-type player next to him mm-hmm. that, you know, doesn't play a ton of defense but cooks offensively.
Yeah.
And so it's a good combo. It's kind of like what we see a little bit with the Atlanta Hawks, where, you know, you've got Dyson Daniels, who's just this crazy defender mm-hmm. playing next to, you know, Trae Young. That I could see that being something that the Kings look at and go, okay, this could work. Mm-hmm. But it's early. And we need to let sure. Nate Clifford kind of develop and kind of be the player he's going to be and not mm-hmm. anyone else.
I don't hate the long-term vision from Tom, though.
Yeah.
Don't hate it at all. Let's get to our guy TC on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the program, go ahead, TC.
Hey, what's up with Hammer and Kyle?
Vibing,
what's happening?
Hey, just vibing today. So I'm not even really super angry, bro, at the game because before the fourth quarter, bro, I was excited. And even with the fourth quarter, so I look at it as like guys are trying to figure themselves out. That shot that we're talking about when Russ looked at Neek, yeah, he should pass it to Neek, but I take it on the flip. I turn it around, right, and I look at it as, hey, young buck, I believe in you. This is how I want you to think. Not taking shots from everyone else, but I want you to have that killer mode mentality no matter who's on the floor. So I look at that as Russ like, hey, bro, this is how I want you to act, right, because I believe in you and you could be an all-star, bro. Carwell, I like his minutes. Maxime, he has to get stronger. He was looking lost last night. Ham, I'm with you, but I still believe in the guy. Other than Neek at point guard, it can work, but he's more of a shooting guard, but he does have playmaking ability. I'm not even mad at the loss. It's frustrating, but I see what we're doing, and Doug got in his bag last night with the rotations, Ham. So I'm not even mad, bro. We're trying to figure it out. That's where I'm at.
Thanks, TC. I can't get with the idea that Russell Westbrook, in the middle of a game, drove into the lane, touched the paint, saw a wide-open three-point shooter, and said, are you watching, Neek? Hey, bud. See, this is called a killer instinct. I'm going to forego the right basketball play here, okay? All right, that's the right play. Now, that's a separate lesson. The right play is to kick it to you. But I'm in killer mode. Keep that killer mode. Write that down. KILLERM0DE. I'm in killer mode. Hashtag why not. I'm going to shoot this bad shot now. Okay? Because I'm in killer mode. You got that? M0. Yeah, zero. Like the number zero. It's a thing. I know I'm 18. I'm usually zero. You got... Okay, good, good, good. Okay. Malik, I didn't want to... Okay, yeah, yeah. So now I'm in killer mode. I'm going to shoot it. Now, the right play was this. But you got it? All right, yeah, I missed. It missed horribly, missed badly, killed the offensive momentum. But you see, you learned there. You learned? Good. I don't buy that one small amount. That is a shout-out to TC. Our guy is the eternal optimist. He's trying to find optimism in a dreadful basketball play. To live your life like that, I promise that is a better way to live than the way I do. But that was a bad play.
It is, and I've said this so many times. I teach my sons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's okay to watch somebody else make a mistake and go, oh, yep, that's a mistake. I got it. I don't need to make that same mistake. I just watched you do it, and I'm good. I'm good. That's more of what I watched right there. Neek had a front row view of, oh, yep. I'm not doing that because if I do what he just did, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sit on the bench.
Correct.
That is what will happen if I do what that is. And let's also, Nick Clifford was like 5 years old when Russell Westbrook came into the league. He has watched Russell Westbrook as one of his favorite players his entire life. He doesn't need a demonstration from 8 feet away. He's watched it. And then what happened last night is he just felt it. Yeah. And that's what I don't like. I don't like that a young player, the right play was sitting right there for that young player to get his fourth shot, and you passed on it, and you took a worse shot.
Just bad.
Yeah.
Bad basketball. Sports Talk on ESPN 1320 is presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. I just want to say this before we step aside for the handoff. I saw some people last night saying, trying to make this Suns team out to be some kind of factor in the Western Conference. I need it to be really clear that while we're having fun today and we're talking about some of the silver linings and some of the things that were good and that's kind of been kind of the nature of the conversation, smoking a 20-point lead to that version of the Suns is bad. Objectively, that is a bad basketball team. There is no slicing it in a way that you go, oh, that's a fine loss to take. If you smoked a 20-point lead to the Thunder,
missing guys and you were still better than that Suns team and you still should have won.
I agree.
Like, there's no way you should have lost that game.
I totally agree. I just needed that to be very clear. This is not a moral victory, hey, at least they were up by 20 type of deal. They should have won that game last night. The collapsing in the second half there was bad. Just need to detect that, because I don't think we had said that explicitly yet.
That might be one of the worst teams in the league, and you lost to them on opening night.
It's
on the road. You're missing two starters.
No doubt.
They're missing one, but you're missing two legitimate.
Yes. But yeah. I agree with Jesse. The Kings were still the better team last night. You got to close it. You're up 20. You got to close out. If the Kings are going to be around at all this year in any kind of way, you have to win that game.
Yep.
And they didn't. That was tough. We'll get to the handoff now. D'Lo and KC going to join us in just a couple of minutes on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Sure. Played the wrong intro.
That's fine.
Sure.
We're back.
We're on both shows. Yeah, it's the wrong intro. It's the Insiders.
Did I put the wrong thing in?
Maybe.
Pause.
Way!
Yeah, hold on.
Way!
Whoa. Yeah,
Where's the flag
right there? Hey. If I didn't throw that into the stack, then yeah, I think that was you.
Welcome to Sam Hill.
Man.
How did I? Nah, that wasn't me.
That was me then. Unless that just wasn't in there.
Hey, don't detract from what you just said.
No. Because our rejoin is still in there and it's playing right now.
It's playing right now.
Jesse put the rejoiner in the wrong spot.
My fault.
It
doesn't matter.
That false thought has nothing to do with it.
Let's talk about you. Hey, you ran into the stands, pal. He took his helmet off on the field. Like, that's not the same thing.
I ran into the stands as I'm walking off the field. Jesse false thought. I'm like, hey.
None of this would have happened if it wasn't for the false start.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So, Kings.
The Kings, am I right? We're
there
trying
you
to.
Go, am I right?
Hey, getting off to a better
start. That's what it sounded like.
Man.
Grow up, guys.
What?
Still got that lotion in there?
It's like the soft.
Yeah, well, it is. It's over there.
It's like the soft. Oh,
the Kings.
Class.
We're talking about the Kings. We're talking about the Kings. Kings. Kings.
Yep.
We're talking Kings.
Kings basketball, baby.
Kings basketball.
Yep.
Oh, I thought we were going to hit Tiago Splitter.
Tiago Splitter, new head coach of the
Portland Trailblazers. Your thoughts?
Shout out to the Mafia, still alive and kicking.
Wow. I don't usually question this. I typically just kind of take it as gospel, but I'm going to question it now. Is it good to be right?
Yeah, it's always,
I wouldn't know. I had Malik Monk on 3.5 threes last night, and
he sat on
3 threes for an entire half. So I have no idea if it's good to be right or not.
No, they're great at this stuff, man. They're great at this stuff. Because I think I had
the
points, rebounds, and assists for Devin Booker was 40.5, and he ended up getting like 39.
Well, remember the free throw number was 6.5. He had that in the first half. I thought I was eating yesterday. That payout was 770. I thought I was eating. Mm. And then Malik just
Didn't take no more threes.
Couldn't get another three.
Three or four, five or six in the field in the first half.
This is why people. This is why people get addicted. You go, oh, I was so close. I could do it next time.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
The good news is
you can't. They're smarter than you.
And a lot of people are like, a lot of people have been saying, you know, oh man, Prize Picks where you did it. Well, Prize Picks Daily Fantasy. No, that is very, very different.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
Very different.
It, like,
we're making lineups.
Yeah.
And talking about stat projections, more or less. It's very not the same. Different.
Even,
thing.
Even more than that.
Very different thing.
Even more than that, we don't play in the NBA.
Yeah, also, that don't bother me. What the hell they got to do with me?
It is insane.
Hey, D'Lo and KC threw the Prize Picks read? What? Get out of here. What are you talking about?
We got insider knowledge.
Yeah. Boy, they're really leaning hard. What do they know about Malik, huh? Hey, give me a break.
The fact that...
Yeah, the ESPN thing was funny.
The ESPN
The graphic,
thing?
Yeah. Oh, the lower third, hey, the lower fact, third was
the
amazing.
The fact that they don't have... Because the way that works is there's a room, and I know you guys probably know this, but for people who don't, there's a room where like a director and a producer and a production assistant, they all sit and they have all these screens, and somebody fires those graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And the ticker is just up there. That's just a graphic. That's an overlay. To switch that out, we do it on this show all the time. Now, granted, it works a little bit differently, but we just do this, and the Insiders logo turns into the D'Lo and KC logo.
Bing.
It's that easy.
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't have something like that ready and just grayed out everything and drew hella attention to it.
Yeah.
Made it way
I just
worse.
Envisioned someone in the back going, oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh no! Well, right, let's see everything.
John Skipper's on the line. Get the graphic fixed.
Checking all the elements. Okay, yeah, Chiron looks good. Spelling looks good. Okay, fire that. Checking the ticker. Yeah, okay, that looks good. ESPN bet promo looks great. That's it. Oh no! Get it out.
So
their solution was gray.
Look, to go even more.
We'll
inside,
talk about the Kings momentarily.
Inside,
talk about the biggest story in sports right now.
So if you look right now, there. That Commanders Chiefs thing
looks big as hell.
Yeah.
but that one doesn't stay, right? Like it does, it rotates like like how the score table does on the NBA on an NBA court.
Yep.
It rotates. So I don't know how you fix that, right? Outside
well,
of just
you don't have to rotate it. Yeah,
yeah,
you don't
you just
have to
delete
turn
that
it.
Out
yeah,
of the rotation.
Like you just,
but
you
I don't
just,
know if they manually rotate. I think it's on
it
a timer.
Is. You just turn the auto off
just
because
uncheck
it's because
it
a lot of times you'll see it tied to a sponsor.
Well, look, so that's the point.
So if the sponsor's not there, or if the sponsor's not there this week, today, whatever, you just turn that off.
But that's the point. If it's on auto, it's just I don't know.
It's
we can't go to the next one. Just turn it off.
It's gonna turn black.
Just turn it all off. He did what he had to do. He did what he had to do. He or she did what they had to do.
Hey, there it goes. It just rotated to Thunder or Pacers.
Wild day.
Look, they probably gave it some time, too. They're like, all right, it's going to change soon. Just give it some time. We can't wait any longer. Get this thing off of here.
God, dude. Yikes, man. That's a story. I do want to talk about the Kings. We'll dive into that. But the if you're not caught up on the FBI investigation that has led to the arrest of Terry Rozier, Damon Jones and Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. There's a ton to read about it right now. It's not going away.
No.
Like, this is not the Jonte Porter thing where the NBA slaps a lifetime ban on him and nobody talks about Jonte Porter ever again. This is going to be around. And I think question number one for me is, what did the NBA not see with the Terry Rozier thing where they cleared him? And now he's being arrested for involvement in a gambling indictment where he was pulling himself out of games early after hundreds of thousands of dollars of bets came in on his unders. Hmm. Like, how did the NBA miss that?
I have no clue. The
did they?
Well,
that's it. That's the right.
They did.
I don't. It
might have
sure
to do what's
like,
best for business.
Exactly.
Well,
that's
see, here's,
it. That's
here's
it.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'll pay attention to is like we've got the nuts and bolts of the story, right? We've got the headliners, the who, what, when, where, why, how. We've got all of that. Now I'm watching the NBA's response because when you think about Tim Donaghy, it's never Tim Donaghy. It's never Tim Donaghy. It's rogue official Tim Donaghy.
Yes.
It's disgraced official Tim Donaghy. You've never, ever, I guarantee you, you have never heard the term gunman Lee Harvey Oswald. You've never heard that. You've heard the lone gunman Lee Harvey Oswald.
CIA operative.
Those who want you to believe something say it over and over and over and over again. Lone gunman, disgraced official, rogue official. I'm watching really closely how they start referring to Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier, because if they attach any words to them, any descriptors, I know they're covering something up. Because it's that idea of, if you say something enough, people will believe it's true.
Yep.
If you just say it over and over and over again, you want to tie in the Kings here. Stephen Brown, Westbrook is a turnover machine. Great. Westbrook, 3 turnovers in 2 minutes. Great. None of that is accurate. Westbrook turned the ball over 2 times in the game yesterday. He just did it in successive order. One led to a chase down block in which the Kings ultimately got the ball on the next possession.
Mm-hmm.
But the narrative is, he's a turnover machine. The narrative, that's part of the Russell Westbrook experience. So if you say something enough that even when it's not true, you can convince somebody that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So watch the descriptors as the weeks and the months go by about people like Jontay Porter, Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups. Watch the descriptors that come from the league. Read the press releases, because that will tell the story of what they probably found a month ago and didn't want us to find out.
So that's,
and that is very conspiracy theory, and I think it's all 100% true.
I think you're right, because the NBA did a full investigation on Terry Rozier, and the NBA has people who have been like senior VPs at gambling companies who work for them, and they monitor the betting markets, and any irregular activity gets flagged, and they did a full investigation into Terry Rozier and cleared him. Yet in bullet point number 7 here of Joe Pompliano, who's a sports business reporter, has this like 18 page or 18 bullet point tweet about the FBI's press conference today.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet point number 7. The FBI says that NBA player Terry Rozier told the defendants that he was going to leave a game early on March 23rd, 2023 with an injury. The defendants then placed more than $200,000 of wagers on the unders for his prop bets, with Rozier leaving the game after 9 minutes. Those bets paid out tens of thousands of dollars in profits, and the defendants and Rozier's counted the money at his house. The NBA did not get that? Hundreds of thousand dollars on the Terry Rozier unders, and he just happened to leave after 9 minutes. The NBA said, no, it's good. And the FBI uncovered it. And also the FBI didn't tell the NBA that they were going to go arrest Terry Rozier today. That might be general incompetence. It might also be that the FBI knew that the NBA knew everything and didn't do anything about it. And they didn't want the NBA to get in the way.
You know, on top of that, we also, if you remember, like a month ago, maybe two, one of our friends here put it out in a tweet that although the NBA has cleared Terry Rozier,
right,
the FBI has not.
Right.
And he is still under federal investigation.
Right.
And I believe the same thing for Malik Beasley has been put out there. Chris Haynes put it out there.
I thought it was,
And like, hey, like this isn't over. And that's why people are like, hey, just trade for Terry Rozier and... like, no, don't trade for the guy.
Don't want to.
You don't want to be dragged into that mess.
It's crazy to me, and this is hindsight or whatever, or maybe this is just my paranoia, how Terry Rozier, for one, maybe Chauncey, depending on his involvement, thought they were going to get away with this. Like, it always comes to light. It feels like, unless the criminals are just running rampant and there's hundreds of them in all these sports leagues that are doing it on a daily basis, which could be 100% true. But I'd be too paranoid to, like, keep doing this. The more, like, maybe you do it once or twice. Maybe you get a $500,000 off of it. Maybe it works. The more you do it, the more attention you're going to attract, and the more the chances are you're going to get caught.
But you don't realize you're attracting the attention when that money's coming in.
Yeah, if you get away with it.
Like, oh, I got away with it.
Well, and because
you might not have. Somebody might be watching because, I mean, how many episodes of The Wire have we seen where it's like, no. Let that $1,000 deal go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it leads to.
Yeah.
And the $10,000 poker game leads to the $100,000 poker game, which leads to the $1 million poker game, mm-hmm. which leads to where the big boys are.
Yeah, and if you're Terry Rozier, you're going, yeah, guys leave games with cramps all the time. Oh, guy turned his leg. Oh, I tweaked my. I can't finish out tonight. And yeah, back at practice tomorrow. Get some work done. Get some treatment. And nobody's the wiser.
It also, unless there's some extenuating circumstances that I don't know why Terry Rozier became a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sign of greed. How greedy can you be?
Mm-hmm.
You're making $100+ million. And
he made $25 million last year,
and you want to make an extra $200,000, $500,000.
Yeah,
hell, you want to make an extra five. It don't even matter, like $5,000. It doesn't matter. Like you're set. The risk does not match the reward.
But we don't know that they're set though.
Yeah,
see that's
the Beasley that? Story told us about this dark, dark, seedy world of. People, players selling out their future earnings mm-hmm. and taking on predatory mm-hmm. lending, yeah. like 25, 30, 40% loans on future earnings. There are players that are so far upside down. It's why
I don't think most Americans are financially competent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just not taught that. Like, mm-hmm. we're taught things in school, and I'm sure they're all very useful. Financial competence is not one of them.
Yeah.
And that's. Not understanding interest and not understanding how
credit
that stuff accumulates, not understanding credit card debt and what all of that stuff means, like understanding like when you don't understand what the damages of making a minimum payment on something can cause you, it's catastrophic for your mm-hmm. for your wealth or possible wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe these young men, like they all don't have Rich Pauls and CAAs and the you know, the highest level of people around them. They have, no, dog, I got, Casey, I got that. I can do that for you, dog. Casey, it's me. We've known each other since fifth grade. There's a lot of those people around. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to managing money, man, oh, man, this person, I'll never forget, what was Kwame Brown telling me a story about how they left Allen Iverson's pay stub in the wrong locker, and they put it in his.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never seen a number like that ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was Allen Iverson's quarterly pay stub. And it's like, knowing how to manage that just, amount yeah. of money, knowing that, hey, he just got a check for, it's obviously not the number, $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
He has to immediately put half away.
Because
at some point, if he's not paying quarterly taxes, he's going to have to pay taxes on that. So you have to put half of that $5 million away.
Yeah.
So if you, what, cars, mom, house, whatever, it's not $10 million, it's $5
million. Mm-hmm.
The discipline to do that and the understanding of knowing that you have to do that, it's mm-hmm. not taught.
Nope.
And I think there are far more NBA players and professional athletes in bad financial situations or not the best financial sure. situations than any of us realize.
In a financial situation where somebody says, hey, all you have to do is fake a minor ankle injury and I will give you $100,000. Like, oh, great.
Hey,
you got it.
I've seen crazy stuff being in the locker room. I've seen crazy stuff with players. I know the Kings had a player that would call his brother, and his brother knew when he was calling something was wrong, he'd say, hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. He's like, do you need help? He's like, yeah, I need help. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Brother would fly into town, say, everybody in the house, in the kitchen right now, I need your credit card. I need the key to your Mercedes. I need everything on the counter right now. Now, GTFO, all of yeah. you, take all their stuff, get out of the house. You don't live here. You're not getting another credit card. You're not getting another car
mm-hmm.
that isn't yours. Bye. All of you, get out now.
Mm-hmm.
But he would have to do it every 6 months because a player couldn't say no.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these guys say. They've never had money. No one ever taught them what a credit card is or what interest is. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know about you guys, but my mom had a JCPenney's card, and that's it. We used it for back-to-school shopping, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised with credit cards. I sure as hell don't know how to handle them. You know, my 20s and 30s, you don't. And then, but I don't have millions of dollars. And so the debt can't get so large that you never see the end of the tunnel. Mm. And that's what a lot of these players are doing.
I think that happens. Like, I think
all the time.
I think Hammer's 100% right. That debt gets so large because there's also a level of performance to it. I'm a professional athlete. Like, of course I got to have a gold chain. Of course I got to have this type of car, this type of house.
$1,000 pairs of jeans.
The new Pharrell, you know, Louis Vuitton collection. I've got to have that walking in because we're on ESPN tonight. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine for LeBron James because the truth is, and this is the tough part for a lot of these young guys, LeBron probably didn't pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
They want LeBron walking in on that with that on. So they gave it to him. Mm-hmm. It cost you $7,000. Mm-hmm. You're an idiot. You're not there yet.
Right.
Yeah.
But the appearance of being there is so important that you go in debt buying jewelry, house, cars, clothes, things like that. And you believe, well, that second contract, especially with young guys, that second contract is coming. If you're a $100 million, $200 million player, whatever it is, and you trick off that, you know, you have the hangers on, you have all those different things Ham was referring to, it's like, yeah, you can manage that. You probably got a good enough team to where you could filter some of that stuff out. The problem is a lot of the guys who have that are the guys who are making $3 million a year and $4 million a year.
Or less.
And that, that is less because that drops you down to $2 million. Mm-hmm. You had to have an agent sign you that contract. You're probably at 1.5, which is a great living. Mm-hmm. But that ain't an NBA living.
No.
The thing
and your crew quick, don't care.
Hang on. Yeah. We're getting this in at the buzzer. You're listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader, always free on the Odyssey app. Go ahead.
The thing that...
We'll talk about the Kings in a second.
Everything everybody said was spot on, 100% correct. And it's a major problem in all these leagues. You know what I mean? All these professional leagues. What I wish the... And I think the leagues do to a certain degree. They got the rookie symposium stuff, so they try. Mm-hmm. But what I would wish somebody in that locker room would do, maybe like a Pastor Bob, mm-hmm. you know, who's continuously in there, say, look, man, pay attention to what has gone on before you. Pay attention. This is a smaller scale, and it's something completely different. But I always just kind of shake my head like the Doc Rivers meme when I see players get traded and be like, man, it just taught me, man, there ain't no loyalty in this game. They've been doing this for 75 years, just trading players regardless of your contract, how long you've been. They've been doing it forever. Mm-hmm. Have you not been paying attention? Mm-hmm. Have you not watched sports in your life?
Yeah.
And
NBA is a business, man.
Hey, I'll tell you this too.
They didn't know that.
Doing this forever. So I wish maybe they don't always have the resources to watch SportsCenter or watch all this stuff all the time. I just wish these teams would have somebody in the locker rooms who are constantly
this is a business.
or like, hey, you see that from now on, you see Terry Rozier. That can happen. Don't think you're immune to that. Mm-hmm. That can happen.
Lawrence Funderburk hasn't played since 2005, right? He wrote a book literally called Hook Me Up, Playa. It's about the crazy things that you're asked. You know, people want to like get you to sign up to do a restaurant. There's so many things that people are trying to get. They're trying to like get you on board with because they want your brand recognition to push their products. So many of these guys lose all their money. I mean, it happened to Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki. If it can happen to those two dudes where they can lose tens of millions of dollars, it can happen to anyone on your roster.
Doug, the NBA needs to seriously look at bringing in the Lawrence Funderburks once every 3 months to come talk to these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, and the reason why I say the NBA needs to do it is now it's starting to affect business. Because now you got these guys blowing money fast and they're looking for different ways to recover. And now it's got your company looking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to take every measure of your Adam Silver and all those guys to say, look, at the very least, we are going to educate them till they're tired of seeing us about the pitfalls of what can happen. Because if we just say, oh, we can't stop everybody, which you can't, but you can try harder than what you're doing right now. Because if you don't, FBI going to start knocking on your league's door.
Yep.
They also, what they can't do is an NBA symposium. They bring all these people in. They have these conversations. What they can't do is say, here's a financial planner that you should go with. Because if that dude ends up being crooked, doesn't matter how much you vet somebody, if they end up having their own gambling problems down the road and they start pilfering money, then the NBA is on the hook. So the NBA has, they have to have a hands-off approach to who you go to, but they can say, hey, look, this is a good idea for you to find your own financial advisor, to find somebody that you trust, you know, with whatever aspect of your business.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even saying like advise them. Bring Lawrence Funderburk to talk to every team after practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bring him in there every 3 months. Find a list of 12 guys that you want across the country to come as a friendly reminder. Like, we got to do it, Odyssey. We got to take these PowerPoints every year. Like,
bring in Antoine Walker. Yeah. Bring in Antoine Walker to tell you how he blew through like $90 million in the early 2000s.
Was one of the first 30 for 30s not about how all the athletes are broke?
Yeah, broke.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called Broke, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Andre Rison was a star in that one.
Oh, Bernie Kosar?
Bernie Kosar was in there too. Yep.
Yeah, $108 million that guy made, and he was completely bankrupt.
Mm. Man.
Antoine Wright.
Tough.
Walker.
My bad. Antoine Wright got a DUI while he was here in Sacramento. Well, that was an interesting practice.
Yeah. So did Eric Musselman, so it's fine.
My goodness.
Oh, there's a list.
Yeah, right.
There's a long list.
Well, at least they didn't blow 20-point leads in the season opener, am I right?
Am I right? Man. Good segue.
Thanks.
At least we're consistent, right? Like, at least we don't have to think of something new to say. We could just run back what we did last year when they blew
the
20-point leads. Right.
I was talking to James yesterday, and I'm like, I need them to win tonight because I feel like everything I've had to say about the Kings has been so negative for 5 months.
Yeah.
Like, I need a Kings win tonight. Like, let's get the vibes going. It's Phoenix. You got a winnable game. We can get to 2-0. And then you got the Lakers who, you know, no LeBron. Okay. And it, like, you can start to paint this path forward. They're up 20 last night. They're playing well. It's like, oh, God. Like, let's go. Like, didn't think they were necessarily going to win by 20 just because it's tough in the NBA. But, man, they're playing. And then just watching, all right, down to 15. Because there was that minute they'd get it under 20. And then the Kings got it back to 20.
Yeah.
And he down to 15. Oh, Kings back to 20. He's like, cool. All right, they're keeping him at arm's length. I'm taking notes. I've got all this. And then it just back to 15. Oh, okay, that's not bad. Oh, it's at 12. Oh, it's at 10. Like, oh, no. Oh, it's 5.
12 was definitely the moment where I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the wheels just fell off instead. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Right.
12 went to -4 really
like
quickly.
That.
Really, really quickly.
And that was it again, all the good stuff in the first half still counts. Mm-hmm. Like, I still wrote like that's still all matter. We talked about a lot of it today. But in terms of okay, I see it. That's game one. I see it. It's just like, man, that's such a disappointing way for that game to end.
Man, that was tough. That was a tough loss, man. They the way that I see it, and we'll talk about it throughout the day, is just they fell asleep at the wheel for about a good 9 minutes. You know, I thought they were playing so well and things were coming so easy to them that they kind of looked around and they said, we cooking right now. Phoenix ain't very good. Like, they'll go away. Like, we're cooking. And they fell asleep. They let off the gas. And something that we don't often do, it's not absolving the Kings of their mishap, but something we don't often do is you got to salute the Suns. They didn't stop playing. Mm-hmm. They didn't fold up their tent. And they came out in that third quarter with the level of intensity and physicalness and physical game that the Kings, just because they were coasting, weren't ready for. And they got them. They caught them slipping. I thought the Kings did a good job after the third quarter, really in that fourth quarter, of waking back up and meeting the intensity and physicality of the game.
I agree. That could have.
But at that point, it was, you'd already given them life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The snowball was going downhill.
The Zach LaVine hit a jumper with 6:36 to go in the third quarter. They made it 84-70. Stretch the league back to 14 from 12. By 3:55, Dylan Brooks hit a two that cut the lead to five. I mean, it was just, and that's a LaVine missed three, Saric missed two.
Gonna have to be more specific.
Zach LaVine traveling.
Oh,
and
that
a Maxime Reneau turnover.
That LaVine travel was so, it was just so like dumb and minuscule.
So
where it's like, oh god,
I was annoyed.
He really did just move his foot. Just it's like such a like a silly call that had no impact on anything. It's like, no, he did. He moved his. He like literally walked.
I don't want to not reviewing the three.
Oh,
was egregious.
Yeah.
So I don't want to. I don't want to harp on that traveling call as like this game changing call. But at the same time, I feel like I see players do that 10 times a game.
Well, that's what I mean. Just, yeah, that's what I mean. Like
he traveled. He traveled like hell. Like he definitely did. But man, it was like, oh, are we calling that?
LeBron
now
does it 9 out of 10 times he touches the basketball. But
switch the pivot foot real quick. Like,
yeah,
hey, you can't do that.
That I want to talk a little bit about that 3-2 because it didn't cost him the game, but the whole scenario was so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you make the call that it was a two, whatever you thought you saw. All right, cool. That should be, you mentioned it earlier, stop play at that moment because it's under 2 minutes. It affects strategy and everything.
Of course.
Stop it. Mm-hmm. Go look. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that, right? So then the Kings foul. Something happened. They foul. Yeah, because the game was late. So they foul.
Made
and
it
Doug Christie in the bench is getting on it. Go look at the tape again. They're getting on this ref like, yo, what's up? That was a three. Are we checking that? Like, hey, Russell Westbrook, all these. Hey, what are we doing? Are we checking that? And he, no, it was a two. I'm telling you, it was a two-pointer. And then.
Rogue official.
And then to see those two things happen where we're like, oh, like that look, can we review that? No, we're not reviewing it. Damn, he's pretty definitive. All right. And then you see the replay. And it's not even close.
It wasn't even remotely close.
It's like, not what
even,
the hell?
I on stuff like that, I constantly, I feel like I say, I need a different angle. It showed the first angle. I was like, oh, he's not, that is not close. And then I kept waiting for the review. I'm like, man, they're letting a lot of this game happen before review.
And his definitive nature is what's so crazy
the way,
about
the way,
that.
Like the ref that went on the court, he was like, no, it's a two, it's a two.
And then, like I said, when I saw him talking to the players, like, no, it's a two. Leave me alone. I saw it. It's a two.
Have we gotten the last 2 minute recording
crazy?
Yet?
No, I just checked. It's not up yet.
Ah.
Rogue official Tyler Ford has been named in the FBI investigation.
Yeah, Tyler Ford.
Hey, I said this to Matt George earlier because he reached out and said it's something. Oh, he mentioned what James is talking about, how that play, like the Suns covered by that point.
Mm.
My response was, well, if we're going to play that game, DeMar DeRozan was 4 of 9 from the free throw line.
Oh,
I mean, if we're going to just.
that puts it on the players and not the officials.
Right. Yeah.
Look,
games were, I mean, losing a game by, was it 4?
Yeah.
3.5 spread. Jesus Christ. Losing a game by 4 when you shoot 56.5% from the free throw line is
that's tough, brutal.
Man. What was the number? The not the percentage number, but they made how many of how many?
13 of 23.
Yeah, that's unacceptable, man.
Oh.
The Suns made 20 of 28. They were 71%.
Seven points.
That's not even that good. Yeah. They still beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to. What did Cardwell shoot in the fourth?
One of two.
His actually don't count because he missed so badly.
Yeah, he hit one.
Did he go all backboard on a free
all backboard? Throw? All backboard.
That was.
And then the second one was perfect.
Yeah. Shout out to a friend of ours. The G-man call of that free throw was spectacular.
Oh, no.
That was got hurt. That.
It was hurt that. Absolutely incredible. Gary Gerald was mortified. Think about that. This man has been calling ass basketball for 40 years.
Since 1985.
And this man was mortified by a free throw attempt that was shot in 2025. Oh, my gosh. Shout out to the G-man. That was incredible.
Man, that was an awful free throw.
It's like Michael the Animal Smith free throws where
he would get there, and then all of a sudden he'd start leaning. And everyone, you start leaning with him. You're like,
no.
Where the hell is he going? Where's he going?
No. Go back. Go back.
Yeah. Oh. So bad.
Just it's slammed like,
there was
it off
a
the
clip
backboard.
On Sunday if you were watching Red Zone at the right time. I think they showed Raiders Chiefs on Red Zone. Why? Right. I don't know.
Probably I even turned Red Zone.
Probably because the Chiefs were running around on him. But Scott Hansen goes, yep, the field goal's good. Is the goalpost crooked? I think they need to check the goalpost. And then they come back to it. I don't know if it was an optical illusion or what, but the goalpost was crooked. That was Dylan's free throw last night.
Yeah.
It was an optical illusion of
the basket
badness.
Was crooked.
Oh, man. And it marred. I don't want to say he played great, but he did some good stuff out there.
I thought he played
well.
Okay.
Really good.
Did he earn minutes on Friday?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Well, so does DeMontis Sabonis' absence helps him earn minutes on Friday, too.
No doubt.
Well, the fact that you're playing 3 7-footers on the front line.
Or
all right, well, Dylan Cardwell was ass and he shouldn't play then.
No, I thought he was good.
I thought he was too. Good.
And I thought Doug tipped his hand a little bit earlier this week. Maybe it was after FanFest because he was asked about Dylan singing Mariah Carey at FanFest. And he said something along the lines of, man, he kind of smiled and he goes, yeah, Dylan keeps surprising me. On and off the court. And it caught my attention, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And to see, you know, when he got up for the scorer's table, it was like, okay, he's doing something that's getting Doug's attention.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about the big men, block shots are useless, right?
Yeah.
Is everybody in agreement that
I've said
block
that forever.
Shot is useless?
I've said that forever.
Okay.
They're the worst stat.
All right.
Except for Russ's chase down block. That
Why
was cool.
Why do we say that was useless?
Because they block like four of them that just wound up back in the Suns' hands and giving them points.
Second chance points
they weren't
on
able
non-rebound.
To get, they weren't able to secure the ball after the block shot.
See? Yeah, they're not bad. It's just not like an indicator of like...
Like a steal, defense. You took the ball away.
It's a true turnover.
A block shot, the ball could have gone anywhere. Right, now the chase down resulted in the ball went dead. They didn't score on that possession, so you can the Suns didn't score on that possession, so you can feel however you want
to. The Russell Westbrook block was a thumbs up. The rest of them.
The turnover that led to the chase down block.
Oh, man.
Oy vey, everybody.
Russ had the exact opposite of the Jake LaRavia start to his Kings career.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like one tough shot and two like immediate turnovers. Again, didn't turn the ball over again the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Just turned the ball over twice the second he stepped on the floor. And it was like, oh, God.
So the thing
hey,
about...
Hey, credit to the Kings. Sorry. Seven turnovers, I think, in the first quarter. They got that completely under control the rest of the game. Yeah. I think they ended with 13. Let me not think. No, 13. They ended the game with 13. So seven were in the first.
The thing with the block shot, though, is, and I'm going to go old school, OG... kind of thought process on this. I remember Bill Russell saying this all the time. He'd be like...
Oh, your rival.
My rival. He would say like, yeah, I'm watching the game today and people, and they block the shot and they send it into the second row and they screaming and flexing all this other stuff. They get the ball right back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? If you really want to deter the shot and play good defense, block the shot, secure it afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw that last... the one that stands out to me... It was a good and it was great to see. Like, cool, it's great. Eubanks spikes the ball into the out of bounds in the first quarter, and yeah, they get the ball right back.
Well, you know,
I don't know if they scored or not on that possession, but that's something where if you're there and you can block the shot, you don't have to spike it into the second row.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see that because it's dope. Because
I think there's times where an emphatic block. It works like an emphatic dunk in terms of like
well,
momentum getting
showing
the crowd
that there's
into it.
Someone to protect the rim. Don't come in here.
But at the same time, I would also take just like got an outlet pass and we're off running.
You know who did that last night though? Like four times.
Victor Wembanyama.
That's why the league is over.
Oh my gosh.
So he just took the ball out of the sky.
The one where
I don't even know if it was a block shot, it must was an interception. Wemby leads the league in interceptions.
The one where he like dribbles in and like does that, what do you call it, the tween-tween?
Tween-tween.
That little step back three after a block And then there was the one where he pump fakes and puts it on the deck and reverse dunk without
trying. The reverse dunk was stupid.
What are we doing here? That's one of the dumbest
plays in NBA history.
The alley-oop? The alley-oop where he caught the ball and like hammered it and he's like got a duck under the rim. You're like, oh, dude.
Oh, my goodness. This dude. He really is an alien.
He's crazy. Even make sense. Yeah. It'd be so much fun.
I need proof Victor Wembanyama's from Earth.
Yeah.
Hey.
Where's his birth certificate?
Can we get...
Where is his birth certificate? Why are they hiding it? Has anybody ever seen Wemby's birth certificate? Pablo. Pablo.
Pablo. Help.
Pablo's going to tweet in an hour. You guys aren't going to believe this.
Aspiration made Victor Wembanyama.
Wemby.
In a lab.
Wemby's a robot. He doesn't shower with the guys.
Wemby last night.
Growing Wembanyamas.
There's a couple of non-Kings things I want to get to. I know you guys have 4 hours of Kings coming up on D-Lo and KC. Wemby last night, what?
Sorry. I apologize. That was a professional. Zabo said Victor Hussein Wembanyama, not last.
Stop! Yeah. 40 points, 15 boards, an assist, a steal, three blocks on 15 of 21 from the field
in 30 minutes.
And one of two from three. That's the one that jumps out to me. Victor Wembanyama learned how to do offense without having to be on the perimeter.
With monks.
And that and Hakeem
Olajuwon.
He learned
how to do it with monks.
Mm.
I was not waiting for him on a free throw attempt. To just reach out and drop it in. I was like, I think he can reach. I think he can just go like this and drop it in on a free throw.
The finals are going to end like Space Jam. Yeah. Like Wemby's going to be in the air and his arm is just going to outstretch.
He's going to be holding onto his legs and he's just going to keep stretching.
And nobody's
he's going to have the first ever 3-point dunk in history.
Yeah. Amazing.
And that how ref will call it a two.
Yeah, it was a two. I saw it. Leave me alone. I saw it.
Also, VJ Edgecombe while we're talking about players. Holy smokes, brother. 34-7-3 and a steal on 13 of 26.
Man.
He is a problem.
My partner might have been onto something when he came to this Philadelphia 76ers.
Holy smokes.
And he got that boy Maxey back there with him, too?
And it turns out.
Went 40.
And Joel Embiid's still there.
Okay, well.
He was so bad last night.
Turns out Joel Embiid passed away this offseason.
Yeah, Joel Embiid can't move and play in the paint right now.
He
cannot.
He looked terrible.
Yeah.
He looked so bad yesterday.
He's cooked.
Yeah, it looks like it's a wrap.
Like, and it's not his stat line. Like, buddy couldn't.
Yeah,
he can't move.
Move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change your name to Saran because it's a wrap.
Well, that's got to be
full Ralph Sampson.
It was. Yeah, that was bad.
That's got to be tough too. Like, you were the process. That was your city. That was your team. And now you're just kind of watching it go to the other guy as you're still there.
Not even that. 3 years ago, you were the MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 5 years, you were one of the three best players in the league.
And now it's over.
And one of the highest, like, when you look at what Joe and Giannis and Jokic did during that stretch, and then you look at that, we got Jokic tonight. Giannis had like 37 and 14 last night. Mm. And now Joel doesn't look like he has a pulse. Mm. That's awful. It's so, so bad. Yeah. And the second they said they were operating on his knee last year, we started saying, I think it's over.
Yeah, it might be. And then he played this summer, or last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last summer thing was really bad.
Brother,
Joel tried going up against Xavier Tillman yesterday, dribble, not really moving, goes up for a shot, blocked. Oh, brother.
He legit looked like Joel Embiid at 44 years old trying to play professional basketball.
Look, the thing about it, like with him playing in that Olympics, we talk about, you know, why'd he do it? You guys know that.
I think he knew.
Yeah, this might be my
shot. Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is my
shot
at a gold medal. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting after
it.
Next one is 2028.
You absolutely be right.
I think that's 100% what happened. Also, last NBA note from last night. Clippers, anyone?
Damn, that was crazy.
The hell was that?
They were getting
stomped out.
What was the score at halftime? I got it in
78-40.
I
think
you said 79-48.
79-48. They were down 31.
Stomped out. That was crazy to see.
78-47.
Goodness. It was bad. Whatever it was bad. Apparently, I don't have it in my
notes. I thought you said 79-48.
78-47 was the score at halftime.
Okay.
Mm.
You know the worst part?
The Jazz. That's the other part. It's not just the Clippers. It's the Jazz.
If you want to see apparently the best
team
in the Western Conference.
Boy, are we in trouble tomorrow night.
We'll see at Golden One Center.
Jeez.
Are the Jazz the Colts of the NBA?
Well, this is the yearly Jazz start off 9-2 and finish 19-60.
And then they go, this is too many wins already.
They've done it for three consecutive years now.
That's great because it's the yearly Kings 0-4.
Shout out to Jesse's guy, Nemias Keita. He had a really good game against Embiid. So starting for the Celtics, 17-8.
It was a chair.
Yeah.
It was a chair. He was
you got the full experience as a 17-8, and he fouled out.
In 25 minutes.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. I'm sure a lot of Kings. Some stuff on the NBA betting stuff.
Yeah, I think we'll cover that a little bit.
Probably. All right. for James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider. Shout out to Jesse Tapia. Drink water, be nice to people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.